And that means it's time for Kids Q, designed to promote fun and healthy communication between parents and children. WCHL's Kids Question of the Week. Kids Q airs every Wednesday and Friday at 3:30 during the Aaron Keck Show. That would be now. Presented by PTA Thrift Shop and the brand new YouthWorks on Main Collaborative, the beautiful community home for some great child-focused nonprofits, including Kids Q, including Youth Forward, Triangle Bike Works, Musical Empowerment, the Skajaja Fund, Healthy Girls Save the World, and a whole lot more. Check out that new building, by the way, on Main Street right next to the PTA Thrift Shop. It's a really, really cool space, and check out the PTA Thrift Shop while you're at it. Joining us now in the studio to talk about this week in news, and also, as always, to help me out with Kids Q, it is Gene Bolduc, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler here on WCHL. How are you?
Well, I'm good. Today's August 18th, and speaking of healthy girls and the world, today is the day in history when I got the vote.
That is true.
Yeah. I and my species.
1920, right?
That's exactly right.
Yep, the 19th Amendment got ratified.
That's exactly
Absolutely.
Right. So today's a great day for women in history, and healthy girls basically do, you know, rule the world.
Physically, mentally, and legally
We're
as well.
We're the only reason you people are here. That's right.
Is that the USA shirt for
yes,
today?
I was. Yes. People asked me if I was in the Olympics because I wear this.
It is a USA Olympic shirt.
It has the Olympic rings on it. I'm sure it is. It is a probably not licensed USA Olympics shirt.
Yeah, possibly.
And I'm sure I got it from the dollar bin somewhere, by the way. So, no, I was not in the Olympics. I don't think anybody's going to be disappointed, really, to hear that.
You could just, take it somewhere and just have the word officially, the phrase officially authorized just sort of stamped on the back. And then,
because
who will question
I am.
You? Yeah.
I am authorized.
You are an official.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And I do have an update for you about my officialdom later on in the segment.
All right. Are you ready for Kids Q, though?
I'm almost never ready for Kids Q because I feel the pressure of how important it is to answer well. So
this one, I think, is going to stump you only because you're going to have 20 answers flood your mind all at once, and you're going to have trouble deciding
to revise and extend.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. So if you're listening out there, if you're driving around, if you're at home eating a snack, get around the radio, get your kids around the radio, because this is for everyone. Here is today's question. If everything you draw suddenly became real, what would you draw? Right?
I would draw a picture of Donald Trump resigning the presidency.
Okay, and, so 20 things came
forward,
and
one of them
most prominently.
Like on the Cheesecake Factory menu, and then he holds it up and says, I quit, and signs his giant signature.
Yes.
That is the very first thing that comes to my mind that would make the world better. And yeah, I have to. That one kind of overtook everything else in my mind. But so tell me the question again. Now that I have that out of the way.
If everything you draw suddenly became real, what would you draw?
Okay, so knowing that it's going to become real, now I'm electing to draw the thing.
Yes.
Knowing how bad I am at drawing, you asked me this question.
Oh, no, don't draw an animal. It's going to turn into this, horrible thing, yeah.
No, it really is pretty easy. I would draw a whole bunch of kids of every race, shape, and size, hugging each other and loving each other and taking over the world, because that's what needs to happen.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like
that's
that.
That's the truth.
So I'm thinking about this in the context of, I don't know exactly what organization it is that does this spot that plays in front of YouTube videos all the time, which is how I get my commercials these days. But the ad where they're asking people what invention they want to see, and people are talking about flying cars and things like that,
and all the stuff we were promised in the 60s.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the very end of it is a better invention would be a cure for cancer or heart disease
or
Alzheimer's or things like that,
mm-hmm.
or or racism. So I'm gonna be modeling and go with cure for cancer, but I think that's a pretty good answer too.
Yeah. If there were only one. So the question is, what would the image be that you're drawing? Now I'm gonna turn the tables on you. What's the image that you would draw? Because
I like
the image of the other cells in the body just going after that cancer cell and just duking it out.
Yeah, I'm an even worse drawer than you. So my image of cure for cancer would be one of those tiny little test tubes with like a liquid in it, and you can tell it's a liquid because there's little bubbles going up to the top.
Okay.
And above the test tube would be the words cure for cancer and then an arrow pointing to it. That's how I would try.
It's in that tube.
Yes.
And so we're just going to ignore the fact that maybe somebody would drop that and we'd never know what's inside of it or something like that.
Well, you could probably get it up off the ground in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, we'll get Stanley Steamer to get the cure out of the carpet after you dropped
it. Everyone working together to make
that happen. That's
right. Yes. So cure for diseases or world peace. I think those are pretty good answers.
I think that they might be, you know, they could be related, by the way.
Possibly.
Yeah, they could be. They could be.
I mean, conflict come from scarcity. So.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the editorial pages need to turn it over to us so that we can start crafting America's vision for what needs to happen next.
Yeah.
If you can't see it in your mind, you probably can't get it
done.
That's
true. Like, have the vision and then make it
happen. Have the vision.
Yep. Love it.
Have an idea, people. Have an idea.
If you are driving around, if you're at home, ask your child this question. Ask yourself this question. See where the conversation goes. If you've got great answers, share them with us. I can imagine 1,000 different amazing answers to this question. If everything you draw suddenly became real, what would you draw? And just the different perspectives that people can take on this. Share them with us on social media, Facebook or Twitter, and tag us at WCHL Chapelboro and at YouthWorks on Main, and that's Works with an X, YouthWorks on Main. Use the hashtag KidsQ, and we look forward to seeing your answers.
And get your kids to draw these pictures.
Oh, yes. Oh, big time.
And post the pictures. Yeah.
Yeah, love that.
Because then you're on the record that, you know, okay, that world peace thing,
yes,
that was my kid's
this
idea.
This is what world peace looks
yeah,
like.
It's my little kid, Charlie. He drew this picture, and then look what happened.
Yeah. This is what world peace looks like would also be a good thing to chant at the demonstration going
on right now.
Like,
yeah,
people
I like
always
it.
Chant, this is what democracy looks like.
Right?
But this is what world
That's
peace
right.
looks like, too.
That's right. I like it. Yeah. I like it.
This is what democracy looks like, has that cadence to it, and it'd be hard to fit world peace
into
that. But I feel
need,
like we could do that.
You,
can
you
make
do
that
need
happen.
A certain number of syllables to make that work.
All right. So what do you want to talk about in
Well, there's not
the
much
news?
Going on,
oh,
right?
Oh, man.
Well, first let me give you an update from my official
dem,
because the last time we talked about... the Department of Housing and Human Rights in Hillsborough in for the county opening the waiting list for Section 8 applicants who are homeless. That closed yesterday, and the effort was quite successful by the accounts of the interim director, Annette Moore. The you know, everyone who wanted to file an application was able to.
Nice.
There weren't issues with giant lines or anything like that. We received over 300 applications overall and found 239 people who were eligible for housing. And that means that as we are processing available vouchers, that those folks will be served first. And the county is making every effort to secure wraparound support services to make sure that they have all the household goods that they need, as well as support. And that includes, for some people who have been chronically homeless, kind of the reintroduction to what it is to sleep inside again.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of work to do, but we're really, really glad that that was executed well by the staff. And you know, the staff at the county's Department of Housing and Civil Rights and these services, they do an awfully good job.
Yeah.
They work really hard. They do rehab work on existing housing to keep it affordable and keep it habitable. And they're very dedicated, and we love and appreciate them. So I just want to give them a quick shout out.
Yeah, and really underscoring just how important something like this is, because if there's 239 eligible people, that's a great response. But
right.
it also underscores how significant the problem of homelessness is
that's
in
right.
our community.
That's right. And you know, the concept that maybe this time next year, many or most of them would be housed is very exciting to me, because that we really want that program to serve them first.
What are the next steps here?
Well, as I say, they've been evaluated on a preliminary basis, so now they're on the waiting list, and they're all at the top of the waiting list. So there are a number of vouchers that are available. I don't have the number right in my head. It's fewer than 60, I think, that are available and not yet issued. They'll have to go through a more complete application process, you know, we have to verify their citizenship, mm-hmm. for example, and their social security numbers. They have to be. It's interesting, you know, with the Section 8 program, with a voucher, you can't get a voucher if you owe money to any housing authority anywhere in the United States. So there's criminal background check. There's all kinds of things that take a little more time, but they're in the system now. And this is a very difficult population to reach.
Yeah.
So we're really grateful for all of the terrific coordination by county, city, local organizations that track homeless populations and serve them. There's going to be, I hope, some effort to serve them in a project that's kind of like Homeless Connect or Project Connect. I guess it is in Orange County, with a kind of one day, one stop mm-hmm. Service event, where folks can check on their paperwork to see if they're eligible for Social Security benefits, to see if they have VA benefits. To get a haircut and take a shower, you know, all kinds of things like that we all take for granted.
And make some of those connections really lasting, too.
Yeah.
I know that's been a focus of
Yeah,
the
mainly
project.
Hooking them up with caseworkers that can follow them and help them every day and every week if necessary to get them back on their feet and moving forward. So they can listen to WCHL all the time.
There you go. Yeah. Awesome. And there's upsides too.
Yeah, know. That's right. No shameless plug in that.
Speaking with Gene Boldick again, talking about this week in news, Gene's the host of the Weekend Water Cooler. So obviously we got the news locally is sort of following up on the violence in Charlottesville, but the takedown of the statue in Durham, the charges that are filed against the protesters, I think over and above the fact that there is this very peaceful, cool gathering of counter demonstrators. Fortunately, countering a demonstration that did not materialize was just a rumor.
Right.
But that gathering in Durham right now. And the other thing that really gives me a little bit of a sense of hope for the future is what happened at the courthouse yesterday, and it may have happened again today, though, too.
I think I saw the same thing.
Yeah,
where felt
people,
the same way.
Yeah, and people showing up at the courthouse to demonstrate on behalf of the people who were being arraigned that day, but also to volunteer to turn themselves in.
Offering themselves to turn themselves in Durham's own I Am Spartacus moment.
Exactly.
Which was absolutely sensational, and good on you, Durham, for doing that. I thought that was a terrific display. It's a great way. It's a great mechanism for doing it.
Yep.
And I can't bring myself to endorse tearing down the statue. I have to stop short of that. But I understand it just fine.
Oh, yeah.
I really do.
I'm okay with tearing down the statue. The one thing that I said earlier in the week is that if you're going to do that, the difference between civil disobedience and just pure lawlessness is that you have to be willing, if you're going to break the law in order to protest injustice, in order to show that you still respect the law in general, break the law, but be willing to face the consequences.
And then put your hands forward and say, you can arrest me now. I didn't think that what they did, frankly, was materially different from going to the General Assembly and getting arrested in protest there. I thought it was basically the same thing. And I hope that the court will treat it that way, because I think that that was exactly the intent of the people involved.
It was property damage. I mean, they've got to deal with it. And it's not breaking the 2015 General Assembly law that's controversial, because that just prohibits municipalities and what they can do. This is defacing public property. So pay the consequence for that.
And, you know, dealing with all this, Aaron, I mean, we can just leave to the side that the president's statements on Tuesday have made clear that we have a white supremacist in the White House, and the country is not going to get its moral leadership from the president. And I think that the chapter on that book is closed. I don't see how he could reestablish that.
Yeah.
So I think we can set that aside now. It's just clear. So I think what we're looking at here in Chapel Hill and in Durham is that we're going to have thousands of students coming in here in the next couple of weeks. They're going to be very interested in making their feelings known and in demonstrating. And what happened in Durham today with a rumor that flew around, and as we discussed, this goes around faster than, it's a lot easier to get the rumor going than it is to get the facts out about what's happening and so forth.
Not the first time this has happened in Durham this year.
Yeah, absolutely, and will not be the last. what are we prepared to do as a community to make sure that we can facilitate free speech and peaceful assembly and demonstrations? I think this could be a very proud time for us as a community to have a really epic demonstrations of support for civil rights, for equal rights, for human decency, and be a we don't want to go there zone for Klans people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want Nazis here. We're not going to be adorable about it and say you have the right to speech too. Everybody knows they have the right to speech. I just don't think that you're going to find an audience here. And we should be ready for how it is as a community. We're going to make it safe and excellent for people to demonstrate our values as a community without injuring downtown businesses, for example. I have great compassion for the businesses in Durham who on a Friday night have lost their restaurant business.
Yeah.
So everybody, if you love Durham and you love the counter-protesters, go downtown and eat this weekend because they lost a lot of money. It's reminded me of the Owassa crisis.
Yeah,
here.
I'm very similar to that.
Yeah.
And Ninth Street Bakery, I think, in particular, because I heard a rumor, and I don't know if this is true or not. But if it is, it's a good rumor.
If it's not, then you did not hear it first from Aaron Keck.
If it's not, then you did not. But reports are that Ninth Street Bakery is feeding the counter protesters, like they're giving them lunch, which is really sweet. I think
that's lovely.
Yeah,
and it wouldn't surprise me very much.
I do not have confirmation that that's true, but if it is true, that's a really nice thing for them.
And if they're not doing that, they're only selling them lunch, and that's okay. That means that they could remain open.
Yes,
because they weren't right there at Ground Zero. But I mean, I used to work right there, and there's a Subway sandwich shop right in the basement of the courthouse that I used to eat at all the time.
Oh yeah,
and I just imagined coming out with my lunch and going,
what's going on? Yeah.
What happened here? You know, so it's, I mean, they don't deserve this, and those businesses don't deserve the loss that they're going to suffer because of a rumor that turned out to be utterly false.
Yep. Yeah. Go to downtown Durham and eat this weekend.
Yeah.
And tip your bartenders.
Over-tip.
Tip your waitstaff.
That's what I was,
yeah.
That's
because
what I
they're
said.
Losing out
go
on some
money.
Go there
to eat
too.
And over-tip when you leave.
I think one thing that I want to sort of add to what you said was Chapel Hill Carver City Schools last night. The school board voted to change the policy on.
Yes, they did.
Voted to change the policy on the Confederate flag and the dress code. The statement that they released earlier, though, because, I mean, you're talking about, like, let's make Durham and let's make Chapel Hill and Carborough and Orange County and the Triangle and, fingers crossed, North Carolina and the United States,
but start locally and work your way out,
as a place where the Klan just knows not to go.
Right.
And I think going back to the statement that the school district issued on Wednesday, the first thing they issued where it sort of suggested that they weren't going to change the dress code policy, and then the following night they ended up doing it. But the first thing that they said was, we stand with Nelson Mandela, and I'm going to get the quote wrong, but education is the best way forward. The best way to resolve problems like this is to educate people so that we don't get to this point in the first place. And I think it's on all of us, not just the schools, not just parents, not just leaders, statewide, nationally, and all the way down, but on all of us as people who live in a community and go out in public all the time to educate ourselves and educate each other and educate our kids so that when they grow up, they don't make the decision to be Nazis or white supremacists in the first place. Because it's the moment when they make that decision, then we're already off the rails.
Then you're just trying to catch up at best, and it's really difficult.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to get people to change their minds on this sort of thing.
Yeah, and Barack Obama's tweet from earlier this week, also quoting Mandela.
Not giving his own words, but quoting Mandela and a picture of him greeting young children.
No one is born a racist. You have to learn it. So
what did South Pacific say? You have to be carefully taught.
Absolutely.
You know, you mentioned earlier in your program that about the last time the Klan marched in Chapel Hill was and in Durham was in 1987. There's a picture from that march in my book. There's a chapter about that march in my book. And I was at that march. I mean, the picture is from from Franklin Street, right in front of Sutton's, and it's a little eerie looking at it because it looks very familiar. It looks kind of like Franklin Street looks right now, except for the cars being mm-hmm. outdated and so forth. And that was the year before my second child was born, and I was on the Human Relations Commission, and, you know, we counter-protested there, and we went to the Orange County Courthouse, and we had a dedication ceremony to cleanse the to cleanse the court, the steps of the courthouse for the Klan having been there. And, you know, I'm glad that I went to that. But, you know, I talked to Brenda Stevens about this some time ago, actually, on my program, and said, you know, thinking back on that event, that seemed adorable compared to some of the things that are going mm-hmm. on today. And, you know, I guess my point in bringing that up is that that was 30 years ago. I can't believe that's true, because it right. feels like not that long yeah. ago to me. One of the most disturbing things about that march for me was not just being at the march and some of these angry Klan members who were marching without their hoods. Their faces were out. And, you know, the idea that this is the first time that's happened and all, it's not true.
Right.
Was seeing them angrily pointing at the crowd and the people who lined Franklin Street to counter-protest, was that I was at Walmart, you know, a month later or something, or 2 months later, and saw one of these people there just standing in line buying diapers like I, you know, like anybody would be.
Yeah.
And I thought, that is the thing that sent chills down my spine, is that, yeah, no, these people didn't come here from outer space. They came from across the street.
I mean, all of these sort of viral videos that we're seeing of people just snapping and yelling at Latinos or African Americans or people in Walmart, like they're just there at the store shopping with each other, and all of a sudden
a sudden, you know, this is a thing. Some of which is probably staged for a camera, but that's my memory of it. And somebody had written an essay which I included in my book, and said my book, of course, available on Amazon.
And listen to WCHM.
African Americans of Durham and Orange County. The essay that's included in there is from a guy who was there because he had just graduated from high school, and said, you know, this is the day the Klan came to town. And what I've written about in my book about it is, they didn't come to town. They came from across the street. They were sitting right next to you in the movies the week before. This is part of the issue that we have, that when there are ideas like this that are so other, that we want them to be from somewhere else, and that they swooped in here and then left. But
it's this community.
But there's plenty of this in this community, and it's important to root it out.
That's the history that we're in danger of whitewashing. Forget take down this statue, we'll forget
that's
about
exactly
that part
right.
of the history. But like Chapel Hill's history, Durham's
that's
history,
right.
North Carolina's history is not that great. And I got to wrap up in just a second, but I was thinking about this in the context of Donald Trump. Like people talk about, what a horrible racist president he is.
Right.
It's shocking to hear what he says, because in recent memory, there has not been anyone who has been in the White House, who has been willing to go so far down that road as Donald Trump.
Not in front of a microphone,
Pull the camera back, though, and Donald Trump is far from being the most racist president in history. He's in the top 10.
Far from it, no.
And that's nothing about, that's not saying anything about Donald Trump. That's not defending him or what he said. That's saying something about the history of this country.
Read the
that
transcripts
we have to be
on
aware
Nixon.
Of.
Right. Yeah. Read the transcripts on Nixon. You will rarely find a more anti-Semitic person than Richard Nixon.
Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
Funny you'd ask that, Aaron.
Yes.
Aaron Keck. It's Steve Halkiotis, the chairman of the Orange County School Board, who talks about their decision and talks about some of these issues in the broader context, and how do we preserve history while trying to step forward from it, that we shouldn't be entrapped by it all the same. After all, by the way, I would point out, if we stood on history and left things the way they are in terms of monuments because they've always been there, if our philosophy is to keep things the way they are because they've always been that way, I wouldn't have the right to vote.
Yep.
So
celebrating the anniversary of that today.
It's exactly
97
right.
years.
That's right. just saying.
Gene Bolick, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.